Hello, I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. Welcome to Follow Me and... Damn, lost another one. We have a new position opening for a mercenary here at Follow Me and Die. Applicants are welcome. Follow Me and Die is an old-school RPG podcast. I share my experiences and ideas about role-playing games that all started with the Holmes Blue Box Basic Dungeons & Dragons over 40 years ago. I've played lots of role-playing games that were new in the late 70s through the mid-80s, and some of those I still like to play, especially Dungeons & Dragons. But there's more than older role-playing games out there. I share ideas that will fit into any game or genre. So check out my podcast. I'm always looking for a few good minions.
Better do what Grubba says.
Hello, Redshirts. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. And today on the Follow Me and Die podcast, episode 174, Childhood Nostalgia, the Bearcats TV show. I grew up watching the common TV in the living room with the whole family. I remember when TV shows like Kung Fu, Alias Smith and Jones, and Bearcats premiered. Some of those shows went on for multiple seasons, and some went on for many revivals with made-for-TV movies. One of those early 70s TV shows that struck my memory and always stuck with me had a pilot movie and a single season of 13 episodes, and that is Bearcats. It premiered in 1971 when I was 7 years old. Well, I finally pulled the plug and ordered the DVD of the pilot and collection of the episodes published in 2013. So after some call-ins, we'll get on with the show. Hey, Larry, interesting episode. I think there's something there, to be honest. The issue with Twitch might be, and I say this as somebody that doesn't really use the Twitch, how do you get that? You got to prep your audience, right? I mean, I know the videos are there. People can watch them later. And you could take your Twitch videos and upload them to YouTube later. So there's that. But, you know, say you're going to work with somebody on doing a game and you want to do that on Twitch. How do you get that out there for your audience? And I don't necessarily expect an answer. I'm just curious because that's, you know, that's kind of the challenge for the creator, right? But you're totally right. The more media outlets you can, you know, the more places you can reach out, the more people you're going to grab, which is great. So anyhow, I'm just calling encouragement. I have not done the Western thing yet. I will. I owe you that, so I'll get to that this weekend. So hang in there. Take care. Talk to you later.
Hey, Jason, that's an excellent question. How that works is all the people that are going to be involved in a stream, if it's like a game, is everybody from the game master to all the players put out on all their individual social media. So you get enough people with enough following, and they're going to have enough unique followers among them that together they reach a broad audience. And through consistency, like the same time on the set day, so once a week, every Monday at 7 o'clock Central or whatever it is, that's one reason why Critical Role is such a big success. They're always on Thursday night, always at the same time. And through repetition and all of the people having a following already, and it just builds over time. And other people that have started streaming, they usually started streaming for other reasons and then started getting together with other people with similar interests to stream games. And whatever it is before the game goes live, you put it out there. And so I'm thinking it would be better to have a regular time to do streaming, like a certain day of the week. And so something I've been thinking about recently is on one day I do a podcast, another day I do a blog post, another day I do a YouTube video, and each of those could be streamed while I'm preparing it, recording it, etc. At perhaps the same time on the day that I do that. That way I'm putting forth the same energy I've always put forth, but directing it in a way to help build up the other channel. So that's basically how you do it. I hope that answered your question. And again, I'm will no rush on getting back to me. I know everybody's got to work, and when you've got as many crazy things going on at your job as I seem to be having going at my job, I quite understand. I really appreciate your call in. Thanks a lot.
Hey there, it's TJ. I was just calling in about your episode about live streaming or Twitch streaming creative endeavors. I really enjoy when people record their creative process. And I'm not talking really about actual plays or things like that, but when people actually record the kind of behind the scenes of how they made something, or the imagination process, the creative juices flowing. Adam Savage does a great series of his one day builds where he puts together, you know, props or models or things, and they come from like design all the way to fruition in usually 24 hours. And seeing some of the creative choices he makes and things like that are just amazing. One place I've actually seen this in the gaming arena is there was an episode of Spellburn, I believe, when they had, I want to say, Harley Stroh on, and they used something like Tome of Adventure Design or one of those books to generate basically the name of an adventure and a few plot ideas, and from there just extrapolated what exactly that would mean. They may have just used the name of the adventure and extrapolated all these ideas about what that would mean. If I remember right, it was something like Temple of the Blood Wood or something like that. It was very just interesting to hear people putting together an adventure and the thought process behind it in real time. And I really want to do something like this myself, musically, by live streaming the creation of an album. I really want to try to do some sort of, I don't know if this challenge actually exists, but like album in a day challenge. So 24 hours to write and record, let's say like 8 songs, and maybe have a theme to it or something like that, and live stream the process, and maybe do it for some sort of charity thing. I don't think I have the pull to really raise enough money for it to be worth it for charity, so maybe I would just do it to do it. But I don't know if anyone would be interested in watching any bit of that, especially 24 hours of that, but it just seems like a fun enterprise. And I think I'm rambling, I'm way off topic, but there you go.
Thanks, CJ. I really appreciate you calling in. And yes, I agree. I really enjoy watching the creative process. I've really gotten into watching YouTube videos of people who make things like carpentry or blacksmithing, or there's even this one guy down in New Zealand that gets old machinery that has been sitting out for a long time, and he sees if he can get it running, and usually the people just give it to him to get it out of their way, or he buys it real cheap. And it's just fascinating to watch people get some old broken thing and fix it, or take plywood or scraps of wood and make something out of it. And it's the same way, I think, with creating anything. You take something that to someone else doesn't look like anything, but you make something out of it. That's what we do, creating our adventures, creating our novels, creating our music, whatever our talent may be. And I think that would be cool to watch somebody do some music. So I don't know how much of an audience there'd be to do that on a regular basis, but hey, give it a shot. That'd be really cool. So again, I really appreciate you calling in. And that was Jason Connerly was our first caller of Nerds RPG Cast. And TJ has two podcasts, the Malodorous Miasma Meltdown and Occult Orifice Outrage. And I also support his Patreon, where he puts together music for people with podcasts. Check it out. Link in the show notes. So I started recording this episode to capture my recollections of this show from childhood before I actually watch it, so I have a fair comparison in my excitement to watch this old show. And by episode, I mean the pilot movie Powder Keg. The car, the Stutz Bearcat, has always been my favorite type of old-time car. The Colt 1911 semi-automatic has always had a place of nostalgia too. I had a toy 1911 that was plastic and had a spring, and it would shoot these darts with suction cups. And whenever one of the guns I had broke, I'd beg for more money from my parents to get another one, or spend what money I had at the Ben Franklin to get another one. And from that movie, I've always remembered they're planning to capture a train, and there was quite the stunt involved with that. And I believe that that's in the pilot movie, and I don't recall many other specifics than Rod Taylor and his co-star Dennis Cole driving around in the Bearcat with the passenger. In my recollection, it was Rod Taylor sticking their leg on the outside of the passenger compartment and resting his foot on the fender. And there's some other memories that might actually be about other movies or TV shows, since I can't recall faces or other identifying factors of the scenes in my mind. And I don't think I've seen any of these episodes since their first run way back in 1971. And I don't recall reruns of any of them since that time. Now, the pilot being made as a made-for-TV movie, it might have come up on reruns, but I don't remember seeing it frequently. And I just can't remember how many times I've seen it. Maybe just the once when it was on TV the first time. Looking at Wikipedia, I see it ran from September 16th, 1971 to December 10th, 1971. So now I'll take a break from recording to watch the pilot, Powder Keg, and then I'll share my impressions compared to, oh my gosh, nearly 50-year-old memories. Well, I watched the Powder Keg movie. It's a 93-minute running time. The quality of it was not very good picture-wise, nor sound-wise. It's supposed to be remastered, but it looked terrible. I don't remember it being that bad in broadcast, so if that's the best copy of it they had to work with, I'm not too pleased with the quality of what I've got in that DVD. I'm curious as to what the quality of the CDs are for the 13 episodes in it. That was the biggest disappointment, is my memory was it wasn't that bad a quality. It didn't age well, if that's the case. The other thing is the story was about what I expected. The story was set in the Mexico-New Mexico border region, and the people of the characters that were supposed to be Mexican people, some were quite stereotypical, either bad guys or average citizen or the lone upright individual. Those of the European descent Americans span the various stereotypes, but the heroes of the story were open-minded and were about fair play and treating everyone with equity. There was a good message there. The majority of the villains who were supposed to be of Mexican nationality, some of them were Hispanic. I don't know offhand without some research. The main actor was Fernando Llamas, and I'm not sure what his nationality was, but he was of Hispanic descent, and he had a fairly, I would say, stereotypical role, so I shouldn't have been surprised by that. The story was pretty far-fetched, and the things I remembered, the scene with trying to board the train. Well, I thought they did that twice and not in the way that they ended up doing it. And I didn't remember the conclusion. I rightly predicted who would kill the bad guy. Not in the way I thought, but he did it. Not to give anything away. I was thinking there was more involvement with the Bearcat than riding into town and one scene in the middle and then riding out of town. And there weren't many close-ups of the car. It's not an original Bearcat, but a replica. But as a replica, I think it was an accurate replica. It still would have been cool to see it a little closer up. I'm going to have to root around in all my old pictures. They have an annual car show in the small town where I live, and several years ago they actually had a Bearcat in town. I think I actually got to sit in it, or at least I got to be close to it. My car collection consists of pictures of cars. I would really love to be able to drive one of those old things. If anybody out there has one and you want to let me drive it, let me know. Nostalgia, many of the things as a kid didn't stand out to me because as 7-year-old, it didn't seem like there was anything wrong with the portrayal of people from Mexico. This, at the time we saw that, we lived in Wichita, Kansas, and we lived in an area that was a hodgepodge of ethnicities. Our next door neighbors were an older couple of Mexican descent. Mrs. Vargas taught my mom how to make tortillas. Their grandkids, when they were over to visit, we played all the time. That was when we lived in Wichita, was when the Frito Bandito was phased out. And as a kid, I loved the commercials with the Frito Bandito. It was hilarious, and it didn't occur to me that it was offensive. So then suddenly, when they take it away, my parents had to explain why they got rid of it. It still didn't make any sense way back then. Now I understand why it is, and I'm surprised that, looking back, other portrayals of different characters, why it has taken so long to get some of those stereotypes out of advertisement portrayal. I'm still going to watch it. Paid some money for this stuff, so I'm at least going to watch it and see what it is. I wish they had a better quality movie. I hope those individual episodes are better quality, because that was very disappointing. Not the soundtrack in everything is not good. So that's the problem with nostalgia. You have memories of something from childhood, and then you see it again, and it's not as impressive. Now, one movie that held up, I watched this week or two ago, is a movie called The Russians Are Coming. The Russians Are Coming. Alan Arkin plays a lieutenant from a submarine, of a Russian submarine that runs aground on an island off New England, and the Russians want to get off the sandbar and leave, and they send a party ashore to try to find a boat. And this was, the movie was made right around the time I was born, so it was mid of the, well, not long after the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, a year or two after that, and, well, whatever year that was. Anyway, it was, well, it was, I guess, 2 or 3 years after the Missile Crisis when that movie was made, sometime after JFK was shot. A scene where the lieutenant is trying to get the men with him to get the people off the street. He tells him, "Emergency! Everyone to get from street." And that scene is one thing I remembered as a kid, seeing that movie on TV, and I remembered it just as it was. That really stuck in my mind. That movie is both funny and serious, and is a message of how people are people and we should all just get along. That movie held up pretty well, and that was on Amazon, and the quality of it was pretty good. There were some spots that I thought at first were stars from the early morning scenes on the submarine, and it turned out it was damage to the film that the spots were there the whole way through. So whatever print that they digitized for Amazon has some marks on it that kind of look like stars. The stars were in the same spot all the way through the movie if I paid attention to it. That bit of nostalgia was well worth it. There is a lot of a game feel. You could make this work with a Well, you could actually do a version of a Western scenario, a la Boot Hill or other Western RPG. You could also do an gangbuster style scenario with it, or even take some sort of a war scenario, and because it's set in a time period before America's entry into World War I, the technology was right that they presented in the movie. It had, I guess it'd be a good rescue the hostages situation or jailbreak scenario or a things of that nature. Definitely give you things to think about. Kind of parallels the timeline, maybe a little bit later than the timeline of Big Jake, where they have an old cowman, cowboy type in John Wayne and his sons adopting newer technology that wasn't quite perfected. That was an interesting crossover that I guess cowboys meet gangbusters sort of scenario. I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. Are there any old TV shows that not a lot of people know about that'd be real easy to make a scenario based on those ideas that if people hadn't seen it, you could pull it off, because not many people that saw that as a kid were struck with it as strongly as I was and remembered certain details from it. I would like to hear your thoughts. And that's it for today. To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com. My podcast is here on Anchor and is syndicated in many other places. If you listen to the podcast on iTunes, please leave a review. I also have a YouTube channel devoted to various RPG topics, like my series Roll20 for the Absolute Beginner. You can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. Check out the social page on my blog to locate me across the various social media. I also contribute to multiverse.world by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways that you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is very important. Consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on DriveThruRPG. I have over 12 and counting RPG-related PDFs on DriveThruRPG. You can also support me by using my link to Amazon. When you make an Amazon purchase, a small portion of that goes to me without increasing the cost to you. I'm also working on a card game that I plan to kickstart in 2020. You can find the sign-up for the announcement mailing list on my blog. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo by Satine Phoenix. I hope you all are having an awesome day. Thank you for listening, and game on.